people in the audience hear the music fairly well, in fact, perfectly, but the musicians can hear the people in the audience pretty well, too. And I was playing this particular number one night and got to this really quiet part, and I heard this woman say something. She said, "Well, I'm going to fall asleep here." This is just to tell you, I mean, I'm just trying to help you out. If you go to if you go to a concert, don't say stuff like that, no matter how quietly, because we're going to hear it. And then after a while, same tune, she said, "I don't think he knows that number." So that's just fair warning. Acoustics in here aren't quite like that, but you never know, so just watch yourself. Well, here's a tune by a guy from New York, Willie the Lion Smith, who goes way back. He was, I've forgotten exactly when he was born, but pre-1900, that's for sure. He was one of the great New York pianists, very influential guy, lots of fans, among them George Gershwin and Duke Ellington and others. And this was the Lion's signature piece of music, and it's called Echo of Spring. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Somebody asked me to play something I wrote, and there's a huge variety of choices here among the three or four of them. there might be 10 or something, but I don't remember them all. So. But this is something I wrote when I was at the University of Minnesota, pretending to be a music student, and was working with a guy named Johannes Riedel. He was a German professor, music department, at the university, and he was the only guy teaching any American music, so that tells you how long ago it was. And I was in a Latin American music class of his, a survey course, and did this for a class project, this and a couple of others. It's called A Solas, and it's based on, more or less, on some Ecuadorian folk tunes. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. That's called Jump Steady, tuned by Pine Top Smith. And you can play that when you don't want to hear what the audience is saying. Well, as I said, this is a clarinet. There it is, and I'm actually going to play it. The thing is, I don't get it out very often, but I got a request from somebody tonight who wants to hear how I'm doing. And this person remembers a concert some time ago when I was working on trying to play the two instruments simultaneously. So, and this is a report card again, because I'm just having a lot of trouble with that. Not to mention, well, I don't even want to go into other things about the clarinet. It's a temperamental instrument. But to play it in this duet way, I've been really working. I'm getting closer, and the person will notice the difference. But okay, here's the exercise I started with, which took me a long time to master. You get an idea of my progress if I do both of these. And this is the first one. It took me a while to master this one. You can see I've got that one down pretty well, but you know, and actually, here's the other one that I'm getting sort of halfway decent at. The rest of you bear with me. This is actually for the customer who asked for it, so, and she's a friend of mine, so here goes. You see why I don't do too much of it. So that's just about the right amount. But actually, as long as I've got this thing out, I'm going to play something by Duke Ellington, which is, actually, this was the first jazz recording that ever really made an impression on me. It was Ellington's 1930 record of Mood Indigo, which my father had. And he told me when he was growing up, as I did after him, in Marine on St. Croix, Minnesota, he said that there was a jukebox downtown in Houston's restaurant, and they just wore this record out, played it and played it, and then he had it at home later on one of those 45 RPM, I think it was an extended play, Duke Ellington, and you played it on top of your TV set. Do you guys remember those things? Wow. High fidelity, the TV speakers. Anyway, this thing really got to me. It's this Ellington thing about it. It was very mysterious, and you couldn't figure out until you really thought about it for a long time, how's he doing this? And what was happening, basically, it's kind of an unorthodox voicing that he used in this. Normally, you'd think the clarinet, okay, in an ensemble that includes a clarinet and a trombone, who's going to play higher? Not the clarinet with Duke. The clarinet is played way down, about an octave and a half lower than the trombonist on this harmonized passage at the beginning. And then the trumpet player was in there somewhere. Both of the brass instruments with really tight mutes and playing right into the mic, as was the clarinetist. And because of the sounds of the instruments and the fact that they were playing right up on the microphone, it really is eerie. And I can't possibly imitate that, but that doesn't prevent me from trying. So I'm going to do it. But it really sounded strange. The voicing, it's kind of like this. This is the way they sounded, but I can't give you the qualities of the instruments, but I can show you where the notes were. You know, all I have to do is play both parts together. But I don't know. Let's get back to Jelly Roll Morton here for about the next 4 minutes. That's for those of you who want to know how much longer it's going to be. There's always somebody. Anyway, here is a piece of his called The Pearls, and I think it's one of his more beautiful ones. It's the kind of thing, it's kind of like ragtime, but you're supposed to play a lot of variations, especially on the last part of it. And you know, I'll probably do about three of them. So this is called The Pearls. Thank you. Thank you very much. I have a, thanks a lot, the pearls. I have time for about one and a half, maybe two, three tunes, depending how long they turn out to be. Or maybe four, I don't know. Just to tell you what's going on. This next one is by a cornet player from Davenport, which is in Iowa, as most of you probably know, but it's always best to say, I find. And Bix Beiderbecke was the guy's name. He was born there. And he didn't live that long. He actually didn't make, he was below 30 years old. I think he was 28 or something when he died. But while he was around, he made a lot of beautiful music on, as a cornetist on recordings, and he was also a piano player, and he wrote some pieces that really interesting, are kind of impressionistic things. He really loved modern classical music of his era, at least. He wanted to combine that with jazz, and it's kind of interesting stuff. He could play this stuff all the time. He was the kind of guy who couldn't keep his fingers off the piano. And, you know, like if they were playing a dance or something, and it was time to go to the bar, that was a strong pull for him. But if there was a piano there, he was more than likely to sit down instead and just mess around on the piano until they came back after the break. You know, you kind of picture him walking around with musical notes spinning around his head, like in a cartoon or something. Stuff flying around all the time, sparks. And he, these pieces, he didn't write them down himself because he didn't have the training to do that, but he had a friend, a arranger named Bill Chalice, who was one of the great arrangers of the 20s and 30s, and Mr. Chalice decided to help him out with this. It was probably an assignment for a publisher. And he'd go over to Bix's house, and he'd say, okay, Bix, and he'd have his pencil and staff paper, and say, go ahead, let's hear it. And Bix would sit down and start playing, and after a while, Bill says, hold it, let me get that. Scribble out enough of it so he could remember it later, but then he wasn't too sure, so he'd say, would you play that again, please? Well, he was a jazz musician, and he didn't exactly remember. He could, you know, he'd play something that gave you the same message, but perhaps with different language or some different words or something. He never could play it exactly the same. At least that's the way I picture it, and I'll bet it was something like that. But they did get four or five pieces ready, finally. I think five in all, and they were published. And this one is called In the Dark. In the Dark. Thank you. Time for probably one and a half more tunes. You'll have to decide which is the half tune. And this first one is another one by Willie the Lion Smith called Concentrating. Thank you so much. I got time to play one more tune. If you can stand any more of this, there's something going on tomorrow morning as well. I think it's at 10:50 a.m. And it's the finale of a class that most of you haven't seen the rest of. But, so it will be full of non sequiturs. No, we're gonna have some more discussion. There'll be some music as well. We've been conducting these sessions about early jazz and ragtime and New Orleans and stuff like that. So if you're interested, come back. It's right here, and I think it's at 10:50. And that's my swan song here at Holden Village on this particular visit. Really, it's my first visit that could be called a visit, because the last time was 2 years ago when I arrived in time to be evacuated. And so here I am. This is a makeup assignment. But I have had a fantastic time. I want to thank everybody on the staff, especially the esteemed directors, of course, at the top of this pyramid. Although this is a unique pyramid, it doesn't seem like a pyramid. It seems like something else. The power isn't really at the top exactly. The empowerment is up there. And that's Paul and Carol Hinderly and Tom Alstrom and others. And it's really been delightful. I've had a wonderful, wonderful time. And I thank them for that. I thank all of you for your patience tonight while I rehearsed my clarinet duet with the pianist. Really appreciate that. And this last number is a New Orleans standard that everybody plays. If you play this kind of music, you're going to play this. because you'll get requests and you have to do it. And besides, it's a good tune. It's called the Tiger Rag. And it's kind of hazardous, but not for the piano, which is why I bring it up at all. It won't hurt the piano. I might tear my shirt, though, because I have to use my forearm and left elbow to try to sound something like the roar of a tiger. I've been practicing it for decades now. Still getting close, closer all the time. Let's see how it is tonight. I guess it's going to work, probably. We'll try it anyway. I promise, Indy, again, this piano is the property of the Holden Village, and I wouldn't dream of harming it. So with that out of the way, you should be able to listen with open ears. Tiger Rag. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. It It's not past my bedtime, but for some of you it probably is. But I do have a short little thing I should play. Extremely short. Thank you very much. Good night. Get some sleep.